Denodo Data Bytes. Hello everyone and welcome to an exciting episode on the Denodo Data Bytes series. I'm your host Neha and we are thrilled to welcome back Kevin Bohan to the show. Kevin is Denodo's Director of Product Marketing and a returning guest who always brings fresh perspectives on the evolving data landscape. Today we are diving into a topic that's gaining some serious traction in the data world, data products. As more organizations seek to operationalize data and leverage it from everything from self-service analytics to generative AI, the concept of treating data as a product is gaining prominence. But what does that mean in practice, and how can organizations deliver trusted, reusable, and governed data assets at scale? To help us unpack all of this, Kevin joins us today to explore what it truly means to scale innovation with data products and why now is the time to embrace a product-centric approach to data. So let's get started. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. So would you like to give our users a quick introduction about yourself and your role at Denodo?
Sure. So I'm a director of product marketing, and that role involves a number of different things. One of it is around the positioning and the messaging for the technology, but I think the part of the role I enjoy the most is the interaction I have with the customers, understanding how they're using the technology, what value they're getting out of it. And that's, I think, where a lot of my understanding and knowledge of the industry comes from. And it's the part of the job I appreciate the most.
Amazing. Thank you, Kevin. So I can't wait to get started with this conversation. So let's start with the basics. What exactly is a data product? And why are we seeing so much interest in this concept nowadays?
Sure. Good question. So think of a data product as a, you know, a curated set of information, a reusable data set that is packaged up, that's designed for everything that a user or a system needs to understand and trust the data. It includes things like business context, metadata, access control information, so you can have the proper security and governance around it. It makes it so it's easily able to be consumed both by people and applications, whether it's, you know, you're building it into a regular application or new generative AI types of applications. If you think about why people are doing it and what the, you know, the drive for this really is, there's a real big push today around improving the trust that users have in the data. It's a big problem. If they don't trust that, they're not necessarily going to drive decisions and things like that. Also, a big push is around reuse. So I try to explain to people sometimes when they're thinking about data products, you know, think of our everyday life as a consumer. We're dealing with products all the time. Some are very simple, easy, and there's not much explanation needed. So, you know, an example of that, you walk into the grocery store, you're in the produce section and you see apples and oranges and bananas and you know exactly what they are. You don't need a long explanation and things like that. If you now change the store you're in and you walk in to a pharmacy and they displayed the different medications stacked in the same way, a big pile of pills, you're not very likely to want to buy them. You're not going to take them. You're not understanding what they're really intended for. So think about the packages when you go over to the shelf. The package includes the actual medicine you're going to take, but the box explains its intended use. It lets you know what ingredients are involved in it, how you should take it, how often you should take it, when it expires. There's a lot of information on the actual packaging that as the consumer, we read and we now get trust and understanding of what that product is and if it's going to satisfy our needs. I think currently today, many organizations are more delivering their data in that first example. And we just assume, oh yeah, they'll know what it is. And the reality is this data product thinking, this data product mindset has to have us take that shift to try to deliver it more in that manner where we're describing everything that's involved with it, everything that's in it. And that's really what I mean when they say, you know, everything that's needed, the business context, the metadata, access controls, all of that, that's what's going to drive that trust. And by packaging these up appropriately, it's also going to drive that reuse where you're going to get value, where multiple consumers are able to come and get value from it. So what we see is people are less focused on the traditional data pipeline creations and things like that. And by having this product mindset, product thinking, what they're able to do is deliver faster times to insights and better aligned to the business. So it's a simple concept, I think, at its high level, but it's very impactful if you truly can have this mind shift within the organization, you know, shift from how you're currently doing it to this product, you know, data product mindset.
Mm-hmm. This is very interesting. Thank you, Kevin. So then, is this mostly about tech or is it more about the process and the mindset as well?
It's a great question. I certainly believe it's all three. To be successful with this, it's not going to be, you know, buy a product, install it, and voila, because if you don't have that shift in mindset, how people are thinking about the data and how important it is to properly document so the consumers understand it better and everything, you're not going to get that goal from it as being trusted. You're not going to have a lot of different groups be able to leverage it because they won't understand its use and things like that. If you're going to start then having people change the way they operate with things, you're probably going to have to change your processes, and then you're going to need the technology to back it up. So I think very much this is like that three-legged stool. You need all three, or it's just not going to be successful and stable in that shift.
Perfect. Thanks for sharing, Kevin. So how do data products support Gen AI readiness in a way that traditional data assets don't?
Sure. You know, the common adage is really around, you know, the AI and generative AI is certainly included in that, is only as good as the data that it's drawing from. So what's needed to be successful is real-time, high-quality data. What's also very important is context-rich data. To avoid hallucinations, you need to be able to provide these, you know, foundational models or LLMs with enough information so they can derive relevant output. And as I mentioned earlier, data products, the fact that it's packaging up everything that's needed so you have, you know, curated, reusable assets that can be used by these LLMs, it's very important. And, you know, what are those pieces that make it really important? That I talked about it earlier. I talked about business context. But what that really means, or if I unpack that a little bit, it's around a semantic layer. And the semantic layer takes the complex technical, you know, schemas that you find within the applications and the databases and that, and converts it to the language that's going to be understandable by the end users. But if it's using the same language that end users use, that means it's going to be the same language in the prompts that the LLMs are receiving. So now the LLMs are looking and finding terminology consistent with what the questions that they're receiving are. And it's much easier for them to link and access that. It's also around the metadata. So the metadata is not only that these fields are, you know, it's a text field of this length and that, but you also have metadata about the relationships between the different data products. So if you're pulling, you know, somebody asks a question around orders, you're gonna have to pull information maybe from a customer data product, but also order data product, and they're gonna be related and information probably pulled from both. So the relationships between them and having that information available that's gonna be able to be shared with the LLM allows them to access and you know, pull on information much better. You also then have one of the other things I mentioned was, you know, the information that's necessary for access control and proper governance. And that allows it to really be consumption ready, not only by, again, the data consumers, but by these generative AI applications. So all of this is really, you know, a significant necessity to have the LLMs be able to identify the best information to use, you know, to pull from and retrieve information from to respond to, but also it allows them to be much more accurate. The amount of, you know, accuracy improvements you can gain from by providing all of this information to the LLMs is dramatic. So, you know, that's a significant part of it too. I think we have published a blog that gets into some of the details showing the dramatic improvements going from about a 50% accuracy rate to, you know, well into the 80%. In another example, the accuracy rates were pretty low, you know, and again, driving it up significantly. If listeners are interested in it, there's a blog by Pablo Alvarez on the data management blog that, you know, they might want to take a look at. It's very interesting to see how, you know, this information, you know, additional information above, you know, the actual data itself, sharing with the LLM that improves the accuracy.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing, Kevin. So my next question for you is, many organizations struggle with scaling data initiatives across various teams. So how does Denodo help with the creation, management, and reuse of data products across departments and domains?
Sure. Denodo, I think, is very uniquely positioned because it really helps throughout the entire data product lifecycle. So what I mean by that is, if you think about, you know, a data product's no different than any other product you're creating. Think of it as a software application or something like that. You have a discovery phase where you're defining the problem to be solved, how you're going to go about solving that. Then you design the product or you know, what set of data is going to be included here. There's the implementation, the deployment. These are all different phases. Then you're in the consumption phase and you have the data consumers accessing the data products and you're monitoring what they're doing here. And that monitoring allows you to see how that product should be improved to better serve the stakeholders. Just like any other product, then you're going to come out with another release, and it's an iterative process. And the Denodo technology is involved in each aspect of that, providing a number of different capabilities. So think about the different stakeholders that I talked about in that process and the different phases. You have the data product owner that's, you know, involved with the discovery and the design and implementation. They're working closely with data engineers when it comes time for the deployment. They're also working with the platform engineers that handle the actual data platforms. The data consumers that are then involved, you know, in the consuming of it. You have then the data owners monitoring how they're using it and all of that. There's a number of unique capabilities within the Denodo platform that allows the collaboration between all of those constituents at all of the different phases to collaborate, gain feedback, work with one another to iterate in the whole process to really simplify it. So there's a request management that allows people to ask questions of the data owners, report data quality issues, request access, a whole bunch of different scenarios like that, where it's a full feedback loop and the information is being provided so they understand how they can iterate and improve on it. The different capabilities within the tool around, you know, standard CI/CD or DevOps types of practices that allows the interaction on the different phases so these different people can work independently, but then merge what they're doing back in with the rest of the product development and all of that. And so there's a lot of capabilities in there that really streamline all of that interaction between the different stakeholders, different, you know, users within that environment, which is a big part of that. There's also something else that we released, oh, probably about a year ago now, but it's something called Denodo Assistant. And what that is we have a number of different capabilities built into the platform that either augment or automate the work for data engineers as well as data consumers. So, you know, for example, there's a button where you can, you know, select the button and a generative AI routine would be called to automatically document the views that you're creating or the column names and descriptions. We also have generative AI technology that will assist an end user in customizing. If they get the standard data product, they can then customize it for their specific use case. If we're going to do reuse, you're not trying to design that product specifically for one use case. You design it for a common set of use cases. And then if there's any kind of tweaking required, and that generative AI assistant is able to help an average user, they don't have to be technical, to tweak and customize, do additional data preparation for their particular use case. So there's you know, significant value in there. Then there's a marketplace type of experience that allows users to easily find and, you know, access the data they need. Critical to all of it is around, you know, access controls and all of that to allow the people that are creating the data products to also define what information sensitive and alike, but then from a central location, control the compliance policies, you know, define global policies that could be applied to all sensitive information or all personally identifiable information, different types of information, how it should be dealt with, whether it's being masked, just hidden from the user altogether, different rules like that. So these are all capabilities that are very important to be able to support that full life cycle of a data product. And it's all done in a very intuitive way that allows all of those different stakeholders that I spoke about to accelerate their job, but also collaborate nicely with the other users that are involved in the entire life cycle.
Very insightful. Thank you, Kevin. So for companies that are just starting this journey, right, what advice would you give to their data teams and business leaders looking to implement a data product strategy?
Sure. I mentioned earlier that, you know, the key around data products of what's really going to drive the value is around reuse. And it's also around building that trust in the data. So there's a number of different things that I recommend. First of all, you know, I always give this advice for users just getting started. Think more broadly, think global, you know, like the what's your long-term vision and goal, but act incrementally. And what I mean by that is don't try to, you know, boil the ocean when you're getting started. Make sure you have what's in place that's going to help you achieve that long-term vision. But when you get started, start with something very small that's achievable. Get a quick win, a win that's going to be high value where you can show others what value you're getting from. So pick a high-impact, reusable set of data. And then, you know, whether that's customer data, financial metrics, you know, maybe key performance indicators around your supply chain, whatever it might be that you think is going to be a high impact there, and work collaboratively with the business teams to define how that data product should be delivered so it could be reused by many, making sure that you provide the proper, you know, details around that, documented appropriately. So when you start rolling it out, when they see, you know, the lineage and where the information is coming from, when they see clear articulation of what the view is meant to achieve, but also what each of the columns and rows and that are, they're going to have the faith and the trust in the data, and you're achieving what you're going for. And then what you need is a way to ensure that that information is able to be accessed and found by them as well. So that's where, like I think I mentioned earlier, you know, a marketplace type of experience. You're delivering a product, you might as well give them that same experience that they're mm-hmm. used to when they're finding products online. But all of these things, it goes a long way. The customer experience, just like with anything else, if you focus on that, you're going to get great adoption. If you have great adoption, that's when you can deliver value to the business and you're going to be successful. So that would be my advice on getting started.
Thank you, Kevin. I think that these are very important factors that you highlighted. So I have a question here. So what's the risk of not treating data products like real data products for these organizations?
If you're not really thinking of it in this manner, you're going to be delivering the data and it might be very accurate information, but what you're probably doing is you're going to be creating that data set to be used for one specific use case. And then what's going to happen is a different person with inside of the same group is going to make a request of you, and you're going to be duplicating efforts. You're going to basically be delivering that. You're going to put a lot of time and effort into it, but you might not have the trust and the faith of the people to use that to make the decision, to have faith in the decision they're making, because you're not necessarily providing those other things I spoke about that's going to give that trust and faith to them that, like, okay, yeah, this is quality information and I'm willing to, you know, stake my reputation and say, we should go forward with this decision or change the operating model to do X or Y or whatever they're trying to do in their role. you're going to have a problem there. If you're redoing it for everything, you're not going to be very agile. Like there's just so many things that there'll be the rippling effect where, you know, you're not going to be getting the true value out of your data. You're probably not going to be responding to business needs as quickly and not being very agile. It's a cascading effect that you really will have a number of different challenges.
Thank you for sharing, Kevin. It was really interesting to see how data products empower organizations to scale innovation, accelerate AI initiatives, and bring trust and consistency back into the data conversation. And for those of you tuning in today, if today's discussion sparked new ideas about how to better deliver and manage data across your organization, you wouldn't want to miss our upcoming episodes where we'll be exploring other parts of this equation in terms of like how to get data products into the hands of users and AI applications through a governed, intuitive data marketplace, and where does GenAI come into this picture? So stay tuned. There are plenty more great conversations and insights coming your way right here on Denodo Data Bytes. And if you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to visit denodo.com/podcast for more resources on all things data.